the Black Cliffs. Along in the summer, I began to notice that Monsieur Jon Paulsson came to church every time there was a service, and that he was troubled in his mind. He said not a word to me, nor did I talk to him. But when one day Bjartni and Steinen were also at the service, and when he, as soon as he caught sight of the two, made for them, it immediately became clear to me why my father-in-law had recently been so conscientious a churchgoer. I could not possibly have done anything else but follow him. I have never in my life been so nervous. I trembled in every fiber, as you tremble before a wrestling match with a strong opponent. The quiet Monsieur Jon, whom I had come to know not the least from the few months' marriage with young Olaf, was the man I last of all wanted to contend with. If Bjartni was really guilty, he had every reason now to be careful. Bjartni started, too, when he saw Jon Paulsson coming. That was plain enough. The flickers in his blue eyes were gathered together in a dark, sparkling point. Steinen watched him a moment in astonishment. Then she stood there, as quietly as before, with the single difference that she was frowning. Monsieur Jon neither said a word in greeting to the two, nor gave his hand. He only measured Steinen with a sharp glance, and then turned to Bjartni. He said, "People insist with increasing definitiveness that the departed Gudrun, your wife, is supposed to have been poisoned by that woman there, Steinen Svein's daughter." Bjartni smiled, but the smile failed him. He said, and said awkwardly, "And I suppose the general opinion is that I'm an accessory?" "My good man, this is a serious matter. There seems to be a good deal of probability that the departed Gudrun died of poisoned soup that Steinen is supposed to have given her in a ladle."
"She didn't die that way. She recovered."
"All right, but was there poison in the soup?" Here Bjartni lost his head suddenly. He was wordless for a moment, and then he shouted, "Who says there was any poison in the soup? Who can prove that?" Steinen looked from Monsieur Jon to Bjartni, turned her back on us, and left. Her behavior could have been right, I felt, under other circumstances. Monsieur Jon said, "Take it easy, Bjartni. There was poison in the soup, then." Bjartni could hardly speak for anger, but he managed finally. "No. But vicious tongues have poisoned it since then, as they've poisoned our whole life at Sivende." Monsieur Jon looked at him a moment doubtfully. Then he said, "Now you're twisting away from me, Bjartni. But I can see that you're afraid, man. And now I realize that you've got reason to be. Now I know you." With these words, he took me by the arm and we left. But after Mass, he went over to them again. He even followed them over across the yard, for they were already on their way home. But he went very slowly, so slowly that they finally chose to stop and wait, although by hurrying a little they could easily have avoided him. An astonished glance from Bjartni's eyes caught me. I was again in Monsieur Jon's train, a glance that pained and disturbed me, which I understood and did not understand. Monsieur Jon went up close to Bjartni and Steinen, took hold of them, was silent a moment, and then said very softly, "The truth I will leave to gods to reveal. But the fornication at Sivende, that's got to come to an end." He released them suddenly, and we went back to the farm. When I looked back over my shoulder a moment later, Bjartni and Steinen were still standing there, turned towards one another, as though they were standing at a grave.